Lovely to see you. One day there were three men walking along on a journey, and they came to a raging, violent river. To get where they needed to go, they had to get to the other side of that river. So the first man prayed. He said to God, "Please, God, would you give me the courage, the strength, and the ability to cross this river?" Oof. God gave him big arms and strong legs, and an hour later, he was on the other side of the river having swum across. Seeing this, the second man prayed. He said, "Please, God, would you give me the courage and the strength and the ability to cross this river?" God gave him a rowboat. And then half an hour later, he was on the other side of the river having rowed across. The third man, seeing how this had worked out for the other two, also prayed to God. And he said, "Please, God, would you give me the courage, the strength, and the ability to cross this river?" God turned him into a woman, and 5 minutes later, he was on the other side having walked across the bridge. Over the next two Sunday mornings, we are going to be looking at what it means to be a people of courage. This is the last part in our series that we've been going through, looking at what it means to be an irresistible church. A church that not only stands out as a light to the world of what life with God is all about, visible, vocal, radical, but a church that is irresistible to heaven, in that God just delights in it and delights to bless it. So over this term, we've looked at being a people of honour, of living thankful lives, respecting everyone, serving humbly, always being ready to listen. We've looked at being a people of generosity in everything we do, giving wholeheartedly and extravagantly to God in worship and for the benefit of others. We've looked at being a people of acceptance, being a welcoming people, demonstrating kindness and patience and forgiveness to all. We've looked at being a people of authenticity, being a people who shine with integrity and purity and honesty. People who are a sample, not a sermon. That's a phrase that we use sometimes. We live not just by the words we say, but by the example and the way that we live our lives. And all the way through this series, we have been emphasizing, haven't we, that these are not characteristics that we can grow in purely by our own willpower or our effort. Just by trying harder, we can't be more of these things, really. These are characteristics, the Bible says, that God wants to grow in us, in all of us, by the transforming presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives. But we're not going to automatically and overnight become a people exactly like this. We know that, don't we? Nor are we ever going to be perfect as a church. We're never going to suggest that. But what we do believe, what I believe with all my heart, my heart, I only have one, just in case you're worried there. What I believe with all my heart is that if we're living in a way that is constantly geared to aligning itself to please God, if we're asking God to help us to grow in these areas, then He will continue to transform us more and more to be like Jesus, the one who perfectly demonstrated what it is to live a life of honor, generosity and acceptance and authenticity and courage. That's what we want, isn't it? We long for God to be irresistibly drawn to His church, because every activity that we do, every plan that we make, every attitude of our heart, every decision of our lives clearly displays His heart. Because we know when God is powerfully amongst His people, then the world is changed. That's what we long to see. So this morning, we're going to look and start and finish off next week. What does it mean to be a people of courage? Well, first of all, I just wanted to ask the question, why do we need courage? Why, as Christians, do we need courage? Well, Because the Bible says, in this life, we're going to face trouble. Because the life that God calls us to, Jesus made this very clear, as we follow him, is a life full of challenge and a life full of battle. It's one where we're called to take steps of faith. It's one where we're called to take risks. And when we do, Jesus was also very clear that we will face at times opposition and persecution, whether that's human or spiritual. Why do we need courage? Because God's called us to an adventure of life that is challenging, it can be a real battle, that means taking risks. As a group of us went out, didn't we, into town yesterday. Took a risk. It's a bit of a challenge for a lot of us. We needed courage. Some of you might have seen the World War II kind of TV series called Band of Brothers. It was about an American Special Forces kind of squadron, whatever they're called, as they were going through after D-Day, taking the kind of land and driving back the enemy forces on their way to victory. And in that series, there's one of the episodes where this group of soldiers are in a particularly difficult spot. They're surrounded by the enemy. They're down to their kind of last bits of ammunition. Everything seems lost for them. And one of the soldiers complains about this to his commanding officer. And his commanding officer turns to him and says, "Son, you're an airborne ranger. You're meant to be surrounded." As Christians, if we're never in need of courage, then I would suggest maybe we're not always living life where we should be living it. We're not maybe giving ourselves to the things that we should be doing. Because Jesus said, if we follow him, then we're going to face opposition. We're going to face challenge. We're going to face places where we're going to take risky steps of faith. As we follow him, we need courage. Fear, trouble, challenge, opposition, they can inhibit us. They can cripple us into inaction. They can stop us living in the fullness of life that God has prepared for us. But courage will help us press on and enter into everything that God has for us. So, what is courage? How will we define courage? Well, I saw a DVD clip this week, which I just wanted to show you. It's just a couple of minutes long. I think there is some sound with it, Peter. I don't know if we can have that as well. So I don't know. This might be kind of your definition of courage. can take the sound down. So there we are. I don't know if that that fits in with your definition of our understanding of courage. Lunacy is what that fits in my mind. But there we are. I wonder if we kind of took a bit of a straw poll of what we would come up with as a kind of definition of courage. I've got a few quotes from different people about what courage may be. Courage, is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid. That's a dead person or a stupid person. We all feel fear at times, but he who conquers that fear. So that's one definition. That was actually a quote from Nelson Mandela. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. Here's another one. Similar start. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something is more important than fear. Okay, that was a quote by an author called Meg Cabot, who wrote The Princess Diaries. So not maybe quite the same gravitas there, but nevertheless an interesting quote. Here's another one. Courage is not denying fear, but the refusal to give it a place of influence in your life. Some different ideas about what we may think courage is. You may have some slightly different thoughts on that. But the first thing I want to say is that courage, being courageous, is not an innate state. So in other words, it's not just something that you either are or you aren't. Courage is not like that. It's not like you say, well, I'm blue-eyed, or I'm tall, or I'm short. You don't just say, oh, well, I'm a courageous person, or I'm not a courageous person. It's not an innate state. Courage is something that you have to take hold of. Courage is something that we have to exercise. It's not just an automatic response to a situation, like your mouth watering at the smell of bacon. Courage is not like that. Courage is something that has to be developed through experience. The Bible talks about having courage, and when it does that, it always talks about it in the terms of an imperative or a command. The Bible never says things like, well, you need to just sit back and let courage wash over you. Courage in the Bible is always linked to conscious decision or action. So we have verses like Psalm 27, verse 14. Be strong and let your heart take courage. John 16, Jesus talking to his disciples, talking about some of the hardships that they were going to have to face as they followed in his footsteps. He says, take heart or take courage. The Bible says that courage is not an innate quality. It's something that we have to take hold of. So if that's the case, the question then is, well, where do we take courage from? Where is this store of courage that I can draw from as a Christian? Well, the Bible gives us the answer, and of course, unsurprisingly, it's God himself. It's God himself. So if we just expand those verses a little bit. Sorry, I haven't got the expansion on that sheet. So be strong and let your heart take courage. Psalm 27 actually begins with, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. John 16, Jesus says, when he says, take heart, take courage, he says, because I have overcome the world. Where do we take courage from? Courage comes from God. Courage comes from God the Father. Here's some verses. Psalm 29, verse 11 says this, the Lord is enthroned as king forever. He gives strength to his people and blesses his people with peace. Isaiah 40, God sits above the circle of the earth. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain. He judges the great people of the world. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. How can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. And a few verses from Psalm 2. It says this: why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth, they rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one, Jesus, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. Let's cut free from God. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my King, Jesus, on the throne. The Bible says God is above all. He is greater than all. He was more powerful than all. And he is enthroned in heaven in all authority and glory. Do you know, every biblical vision that we see in scriptures of God the Father, we see him seated on the throne in heaven. That's really important, because that gives us a picture of God's state. God, in all authority and all power, is seated on the throne. He's at rest. There is no panic with God. Nothing troubles him. Nothing surprises him. There is no indecision or doubt or fear in the heart of God. He says, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. God is at perfect rest, position of strength and all authority. Courage comes from the throne of God, our Father. Courage comes also from God the Son, Jesus. Jesus, God's eternal Son, who emptied himself of his heavenly glory and he came to earth as a man in perfect obedience to the Father. And in the empowering of the Holy Spirit, he overcame everything that the world and hell itself could throw at him to destroy him and to deflect him from his mission. Jesus, he faced opposition, he faced persecution. We've already been declaring some of these truths this morning and singing about them. He faced temptation, he faced people trying to trip him up and discredit him and smear his name and his reputation. He was misunderstood, wasn't he? He was rejected, he was abused, he was sneered at, he was plotted against, he was betrayed, eventually even abandoned by his closest friends. He was falsely accused. He was mocked and finally beaten and tortured and crucified. And he battled through it all with a courage and a conviction and overcame it all. So Hebrews 10 says this: Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and he scorned its shame and he sat down at the right hand of God. And it says this: consider him who endured such opposition. Why? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him, the example of Jesus, the one who faced everything with incredible courage and overcame, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. So courage comes from God the Father, the one seated in all authority and rest and perfect control in heaven. It comes from his Son, the example of Jesus. It comes from God the Spirit. The one who empowered and gave courage to Jesus himself has also been given to us as Christians, the Bible says. 1 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Power, self-sacrificing love, self-discipline, the hallmarks of courage. When we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit that we receive. Power and of love and of self-discipline. There's a longing, a yearning and a conviction in our hearts that actually we are to be people. courage, people of love, people of power, people of self-discipline, and not just an empty longing, but a fulfilling of that, an empowering, so that we might be like that. The Bible couldn't be clearer about where we can find and take up courage from. That verse there. So do not fear, God says, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That symbol of power. Where does courage come from? The Bible says we need to take up courage. Where does it come from? It comes from God himself. So how might we redefine courage then in the light of this? Well, I've kind of put together this possible definition of courage for us as a Christian. So courage for a Christian is not the absence or denial of fear, but the refusal to give it a place of influence in our lives through the judgment that we know someone in God who is infinitely greater than any fear or any cause of fear that we might encounter. Through him, then, we are able to overcome fear, live in the courage of Christ by the empowering of the Holy Spirit to say yes to everything that our Father asks us to do. So how do we grow in this courage? If courage is something that we need to take up, we find it in God and in his provision for us. How can we access that? How can we grow in courage through God? And just in the last kind of few minutes this morning, I'd just like to revisit a passage in the Old Testament that we looked at the very start of this year, Joshua chapter 1. And if you are here, it was the first Sunday of the new year, or you're familiar with this part of the story of God's chosen people, you know that God's people, under the leadership of Joshua, were on the brink of an amazing new chapter in their history. They were about to enter a land that God had promised to give them. Now, they should have entered it 40 years earlier, after God had first rescued them from slavery in Egypt under the leadership of Moses. But the people at that point had refused to trust God because they saw the strength of the people who were already living in this land who they would have to displace. And even though God had done many miracles for them and said that he would give them victory every step of the way, they were afraid and they retreated back into the desert until a whole generation had died out. Now, of course, God in his faithfulness and his goodness didn't give up on his people, and he brings this new generation that are raised up back to the promised land, and he invites them to follow him and take possession of the land. So I'm just going to read these few verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. And no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? God said, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Three times. And this crucial part of their history as they're faced with this big challenge. Challenge that their forefathers, the generation that had gone before, turned back from because they were afraid. Three times God says to them, be strong and courageous. Three times. Why? Because whatever else they may have needed, they needed to be strong and courageous. Because their enemies were still the same. The obstacles that they were going to have to face were still the same. The challenge to take possession of what God had promised them was still the same. And so courage, the very thing that the people had lacked before, that had stopped them entering into their new home, was the very thing that they needed now to fulfill their destiny in God. So we're just going to look at the last few verses of this passage and just pick out a few keys to courage in God. What are some keys to courage in God? Well, the first one is this. If we want to be a courageous people, we need to know exactly what God has called us to and not settle for anything less. We need to know what God has called us to and not settle for anything less. Courage is not just about doing the most difficult and terrifying thing that you can think of for the sake of it. That's like jumping out of a helicopter with a wingsuit on and flying through a flag. Courage is about knowing exactly what God has called us to and not settling for anything less. So in verse 6, God says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. God's people, they needed to know that God had called them to conquer the land that stood before them. They needed to know it wasn't their own idea. They needed to know it wasn't just their leader's idea or just one possible option out of a whole number of possibilities of things that they could do with their life. God says to them, now this is what I have brought you here for. I promised this to the previous generation. They turned away, but now is the time. Why is this a key to courage? Because if we're doing what is our idea to do, then it may fail. If it's our idea, then the success or failure of it falls to us and our capabilities and our wisdom and our skill and our power. But if it's God's plan for us, then it will not fail because he will not let it fail. Job 42 says this about God, I know you can do all things and no plan of yours can be thwarted. We need to know exactly what God has called us to do. It's a key to having courage, because then its success does not rest on ours, but on his capabilities and wisdom and power and strength. So if we want to live lives of courage, one of the keys to know what God has called us to do and not settle for anything less. So what has God called us to do? He's called us to know him, to love him with all our hearts and our minds and our strength. He's called us to rejoice in him, to find rest and peace in him. He's called us to follow his son Jesus and to nurture the work of his Holy Spirit in us as he transforms us to be more like Jesus. He's called us to walk past temptation and into freedom from sin. He's called us to forgive and love others in the same way that God has forgiven and loves us. He's called us to do good to others, even if they curse us, to share the good news of Jesus with them, to pray for the sick, see them made well, to go to every nation and disciple men and women, young and old, to follow Christ with us. That's a pretty big list of things that God has called us to do. If it's just our idea, that's not going to give us any courage. If we know that it's what God has called us to, then that will give us courage. If we know it and don't settle for anything less. Because if he's called us to it, then it is his reputation that is on the line and his resources that will accomplish it all. through us as we follow him. So that's the first key to courage. Second key that these verses tell us is just living obedient lives. It's a key to living a life of courage. God has promised to give us everything we need to train ourselves to live obedient lives. The Bible says, 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We know, don't we, that the path that God has prepared for our lives is the way that will keep us under his protection and his provision. It's a place of blessing and strength. And it's fertile ground where courage grows and flourishes. But we want to be strong and courageous. And God says, then go my way. Be obedient. Don't deviate from it to the left or to the right, he says here to his people. Why? Because when we do, we know that sin in our hearts robs us of the intimacy and immediacy of our knowledge of God. He seems distant because we've distanced ourselves from him. Sin clouds our thinking, doesn't it? It weighs us down with guilt. It blurs our clarity, and it often leaves us preoccupied and dealing with the fallout of bad decisions in our lives. Choosing disobedience over God makes us vulnerable to the enemy, and that opens our hearts up to fear and doubt and robs us of courage. But living obedient lives in God's strength, thank God, help me to follow you, help me to keep close to you, keeps us in that place of intimacy and immediacy of knowledge with him. It's a fertile ground for courage to grow. Filling our minds with God's word, that's another key to courage. That's why we need to meditate on God's word day and night. That's what it says here. Why do we meditate on God's word day and night? Why do we try and fill our minds? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we think about it? Why do we try and ask God to show us how does this apply to my life? Because not only will knowing God's word and filling our mind with it help us to know what an obedient life looks like, but it helps us understand about God, that God is for us. Helps us rest secure in his unbreakable promises to us, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that his grace is sufficient for us, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, that we can always stand strong in his mighty power, that he will never allow us to go through anything we cannot bear, that we can find rest in him and peace that will guard our hearts and minds as we trust him. To meditate on God's word means to fill our minds with what God says. What God says about himself, about us, and about our lives. It means running over and over it again in our minds and our hearts until the truth takes root in us. When we do that, what God says becomes more than just something we've memorized and can quote. It becomes part of who we are. When we know who we are in God, courage flows through our lives. Lastly, last key to courage from this passage, knowing God is with us. Knowing God is with us, that's the key to courage. Do you know that God is with you? Really, really with you? That's a phrase we use. Yeah, God's with us. We know God's with us. Do we think about what that means? God is really with you. He's really with you right now, where you're seated. He's really with you, not some of the time, but all of the time. He's not fairly near you, in a reasonable proximity to you. God is with you, closer than anyone else, closer than the closest human relationship or bond that you have. God is with you. You know, when we're facing challenge or trouble or opposition, it's not like we, you know, in the old westerns, where they have to wait for the cavalry to arrive, and will they arrive in time? And, well, they didn't have watches to look at. Well, look at the sun. God is with you. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. There's no delay. You pray, God hears. You cry out, God responds. How does he respond? Well, the greatest response God can make, the greatest gift God can give us when we're facing challenge or hardship or fear or doubt, is not to make those things go away, not to make our difficulties disappear, or our enemies, although that will sometimes happen. But his greatest gift is to assure us that he is with us, right now. If we can learn to live our lives in a way that nothing is bigger than our awareness of God with us, we can live our lives in a way where nothing is bigger than our awareness of God with us, then we'll have discovered one of the greatest keys to living a life of courage. It's why we need to cultivate a life of a prayer and worship, connecting with God every moment, every chance we get to turn our hearts to him, to talk to him, to praise him, to thank him, to ask him for what we need, to listen to him. Knowing God is a key to courage. Why do we need courage? Because life has plenty of troubles. When we're following Christ, it's a call to a life of challenge, and of risk-taking faith, and battle. We need courage. Where does that courage come from? It's not an innate characteristic that we either have or we don't have. The Bible says it's something we need to take hold of. Where do we take hold of it from? From God himself, from God our Father, who rests in all authority and power enthroned in heaven, from Jesus his Son, who came and faced down every single challenge, every single fear, every single doubt to a factor of 100 that we will ever have to face, and yet was able to say, I have overcome all these things. It comes from the Spirit of God within us, who puts that conviction in our hearts that we can live a life like Christ that is marked not by an absence of fear, but by courage that in God is able to overcome and press through that fear. And then knowing what God has called us to, it's a key to growing in courage. Living obedient lives just so helps us. Filling our minds with God's word, with his promises, is a key to courage. And knowing, most of all, that God is with us, help us grow in courage. Next week, we're going to look a bit further. We're going to think about courage. When do we need courage most? What will it look like? And how can we help each other grow as a people of courage? Fear and doubt. Challenge. Stop us entering into the fantastic fullness of all that God has planned and prepared for us if we allow it to. But God wants to give us courage. He wants to help us to take up his courage and live in it. I'd like us just to pray for a minute and just respond to God. So just to invite you, just where you are, let's close our eyes. Now, fear and doubt are just part of life, aren't they? But for us, as those who follow God, sons and daughters of God, the Bible says fear and doubt actually are like unwelcome squatters in our lives. They come along, they turn up from time to time, they plonk themselves down with us, but we don't need to allow them to stay there. We can choose to sit down with them. We can choose to give them a place in our home. And we can choose to listen passively to what they're saying. or we can take them to meet Jesus. I just want to invite you to think for a moment. Lord, what are the biggest fears in my heart at the moment? What are the things that I really struggle to believe at the moment? Maybe something that you've said about me I've always struggled with. Maybe something that I know you're asking me to do that I'm just really fearful of. Let's think for a moment. Might just be one thing. Big fear or challenge or doubt in your life at the moment. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd help us. Now, just show us. If there are things, maybe even that we're not kind of so consciously aware of all the time, those things that are fears that grip our hearts, or things that really cause us to wobble, things, doubts that come that really shake us, let's pray you bring them to the front of our mind now. Now I just want to encourage you, just in your mind, to think, okay, what am I going to do with that? Am I just going to let this fear or this doubt have squatting rights in my life? Am I just going to listen to what it's saying to me? Am I just going to let it stay here? Or am I now going to bring it to Jesus? Am I going to bring it to my God and my King? The one who said, "Fear not, take courage, because I have overcome the world." I've overcome that fear. I've overcome that doubt. I've walked through it. And I want to empower you to do the same. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus. We thank you that he displayed and lived such a courageous life for us. That he faced down every fear, every doubt, every challenge that we might ever have to face in this life. And that in perfect obedience and submission to you, and in the power of your Spirit, he walked through them all. Was never overcome by them, but overcame them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that right now, you would help us to do the same. Where there is any hold that fear or doubt has on our hearts, we just break it now in the name of Jesus. Anything that we are struggling to believe that you have said, we just say no. We trust in your word. You are not a God who lies. Your word is eternal. And we bring it to your word, and we say we choose to trust in the word of God. If God says, then it is so. If God says I can, then I can. Not in my strength, but in his. And just now, in the name of Jesus, we break any hold of fear or doubt in our lives. And God, we ask you to bring us into freedom. We ask you that you would fill our hearts with courage, that you would help us to make good decisions and right decisions, not based on unfounded fear or doubt, but on the truth of your everlasting word to us. We ask this now in the name of your Son Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Well, it's been a great weekend. Just thoroughly enjoyed yesterday.